You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Thursday afternoon. Don't forget tomorrow, 5 o'clock, it is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. We're going to bring in an old friend here in just a second.
Woo!
And we have known him, of course, for years, and his son, Noah. We got the privilege of watching grow up. But Noah, and correct me if I'm wrong, we get you on the air here in a second, friend, was at a Boy Scout camp, I believe it was, and was apparently bitten by a copperhead snake, 14 years old, young Noah. And the bill from the hospital is insane. Jack Landreth, the original new boss, former program director here at KMBZ, joining us on the KMBZ hotline. Hello, Jack.
It's only been 9 years, 2 months, 3 days, 2 hours, and 46 minutes since I've been on the air, but...
Glad to have you back.
Hello. Yeah, I wish we were talking under better circumstances. I'm glad Noah's okay. But
everything is fine now.
Take us back to what happened, and then we'll get to the heart attack when you open the bill.
Well, I was just about to go into a lunch meeting, and I get a call from the scout leaders. He was at Bartle Boy Scout Camp for 9 days previous, which, if you're a scout, every scout goes to Bartle over the summer. Thousands of kids go through there every summer. And so I get a call from one of his scout leaders, and you know, he says, Jack, there's been a little incident. I'm like, oh, great. What, got a fight? Hit his head in the pool? What happened? He goes, well, we're in the car heading up north right now. He was bit by a copperhead twice.
Twice?
I said, how do you get bit twice? Number one, I guess it double taps you. If it doesn't like the first taste, it gets another. I think that's the best I can figure out. But so I'm thinking at this point, okay, dead child. It takes, what, 20 minutes to kill?
Right.
I had no idea. I've never dealt with a snake bite in my life before. But they said, no, he's been to the doctor at Bartle. And he said, take him up north. You've got about 4 or 5 hours before things start getting gnarly. So there is time. It's about a 2.5-3 hour drive. And, of course, they were driving a little fast. So I call my wife. Actually, my son had texted my wife, and she called me frantically. If you have a 14-year-old who's bit by a snake, tell them to please not text their mother until dad has had a chance to call you.
Probably good advice.
Things. Well, and
a little bit of advice.
And Jack, I broke a rule here on the program before you came on. I did a little bit of research. I'm embarrassed, but I did. A copperhead snake. It is a first in 20 years. A copperhead snake, when it bites you the first time, normally does not release venom. When it bites you again, it does.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, very well. It got him twice.
So he goes to the doctor, or the hospital, whatever. And I assume at this point you're looking for anti-venom or whatever they call it.
Yeah, and I said, well, why didn't they stop by Clinton? Or what? You know, there are 4 or 5 hospitals on the way. And he said, nope, it's a very specialized antivenom, and the only place that has it is this particular hospital in downtown Kansas City.
Mercy, you can say it. It's Mercy.
Children's Mercy, yeah. And let me just say up front, Children's Mercy, the best care, the most fantastic doctors, nurses, everybody there was absolutely fantastic, top-notch. I can't recommend them more. But so we get there, and of course, me and my wife got there about 45 minutes before Noah and the scout leaders. And of course, the doctors were notified. The doctor down at Bartle was friends with the doctor at Children's Mercy, so they were coordinating. Everything was great. Noah pulls up. Mom is all over him. I'm thinking, you know, okay, he's making jokes. His foot is about the size of a football, but he's just joking.
Okay, so real quick, Jack, which foot and where on the foot specifically was he bit?
It was the right foot, and it was at the top of the foot. He was wearing flip flops. One thing not to do at camp, but he was coming back from somewhere, and I guess who knows. But and I hear it wouldn't have mattered if he had tennis shoes on, but it was the top of the foot.
Okay.
And did he get to?
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Was he near the? And this might be unanswerable, but was he near the snake's lair? Dare I say, or did the snake just come out of nowhere and attack him?
No, there were two. It was underneath a tree root that the path was going across. There was a big tree root there. And two kids had followed, had walked out in front of him. So two kids had already passed.
Okay.
And by the time Noah got there, bam, bam, got him. So And what was funny was the doctor in the emergency room, you know, very serious, and says, "Noah, now tell me the size of the snake. Can you tell me how big this snake is?" And he goes, "No, I can't really remember. Wait, hold on a second." Pulls out his phone. 35 seconds later, here's a picture of him. You know, what does every 14-year-old do?
Yeah, when took a photo.
Bit. You take a photo, of course. So his friend texts him a photo of the snake. Everything's there. And yeah, it's a copperhead. And thank goodness it was a big one, or a big-ish one. Because they say the baby snakes are worse because the venom is more concentrated. They're just not used to biting people, I guess.
All right, let's get to the meat here, and that is the that's the bill that you and Urs got in the mail. For this treatment for young Noah, who was bitten twice by a copperhead snake, according to what you posted online and we have in front of us now, the cost to treat a copperhead bite, double bite, was $90,852.66. I hope you were wearing Depends undergarments when you opened the bill.
Well, the $90,852.66 was discounted by $1.13 because of a credit adjustment, so if that helps.
Well, thank God for that $1.13 credit adjustment. I looked this up, Jack.
Yes.
When I saw your bill, my jaw hit the floor. I have a friend who got bit by a rattlesnake, her son about Noah's age, Jack, and they had to do the same thing. And the anti-venom, I remember at the time, was very, very expensive. It was nowhere near $90,000, but it was expensive. What is it about the copperhead snake anti-venom that only Children's Mercy has it? And we're not faulting Mercy here, because I looked this up. It is one of the most expensive injuries you can have.
Yeah, it's not just the antivenom itself. That is, of course, extremely expensive. But it's also the dosing, and that's why they didn't want him going to any other hospital, because it's very difficult to dose, especially to a 14-year-old, you know, growing boy, who, you know, you got to do his weight, his height, all these different formulas that go into doing the exact correct amount of antivenom. So that's partially where it comes in. Also, they don't want to screw it up. You know, oops. Made it, throw that away, we'll do another one. So it has to be a perfect dose.
So he received...
Where it comes from?
But hang on for a second and then continue with your thought. He received... I looked at a follow-up bill that you sent us. He received 8 doses of anti-venom or anti-venin, depending on how you want to pronounce it. He received 8 doses for a total charge of $77,000. That is $9,600 per dose.
If you divide by 8, it's actually 6. Man, you guys still suck at math.
Did they tell you when you came in? Now, just so you know, we're going to save your son. It's a painful bite. It's typically not fatal, but we do need to go back and do the anti-venom thing. He's probably going to need about 7 doses. And then you're going to need a defibrillator when you see how much it costs to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wasn't warned officially, but one of the nurses who was, again, fantastic, he said, do you want me to look up what the exact cost is? And I'm like, no, I mean, we've got an idea because we had, when you're in a hospital emergency room, you've got nothing better to do but be on your phone researching, you know, med health and all that. So we knew it was going to be anywhere between $70,000 and $100,000 just for the antivenom. There was no point that I was going to say, you know, no, obviously, you just don't do that. And we have very, very good insurance. My company has great insurance and the Scouts have secondary insurance. So the good news in all of this is, knock wood, you hear that?
Yeah.
That my insurance will be taking care of this. No, they're not going to look at it and go, we'll pay for everything except the antivenom.
Right.
I don't think they'll do that. But then Scouts will pick up whatever's left over.
But Jack, one of the questions I think, and our listeners are going to have this too, copperheads are all over Kansas and Missouri, all over. So this has to probably happen more often than you think. And it's not like you can go
that often.
It's not like you can go to urgent care for this. Like right?
No. But like in talking to the Scouts afterwards, as I say, thousands of kids go through Bartle every year. Noah was the only one. he was the only one that got bit. In fact, I was at an event today for my business, and somebody else who's a scout dad says, oh, you're the one.
Oh, he's a legend. He's a legend now.
He's a legend now. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yes, he loves it. He loves it. He's taking advantage of it. I don't think it happens that often. I don't think copperheads, stand out all over the place going, who can I bite today? Right. You don't hear it that often. So I think they want to stay away just as much. Again, though, when you're in the middle of the forest on a trail with a bunch of kids crossing a tree route, there wasn't a stop sign there for snakes. So.
Jack, does he get a badge for this?
No.
So I don't know about a badge, but he did come to me and he said, Dad, this is, he's 14 years old. He said, Dad, I want to get a tattoo. And I said, I'm thinking, a snake across the ankle and all this. He goes, I said, what do you want to get? He goes, four dots.
Oh, right where it was.
All right.
Right where it was. Yeah. I'm like, not a bad idea.
It's a cool, kid. He will always now have an essay for the, what did you do over the summer the first week he goes back to school?
Oh, he will always have a story for a day.
Yeah. Right.
What rank is he now in the Boy Scouts?
He is a life. He'll be an eagle is next.
Okay. It's snake. It's just below eagle.
Let me tell you something, Jack. I'm well aware about life because I quit right before I got my eagle badge. It's one of the greatest regrets of my life. Please tell Noah to keep going.
He absolutely will. Yeah, you know him. He never stops at anything.
But I quit when I was a life scout, and I regret it to this day.
Were you in Leavenworth at the time?
Yeah.
Was that allowed to quit? I mean, that must have been really something.
I don't want to talk about it, Jack.
I'm
glad Noah's okay, and I was
a cup of coffee.
I was just shocked when I saw the bill. $90,000. Damn.
It is amazing. I don't know what healthcare is going on in this country, but boy, when I saw that almost put me in the hospital. Yep.
All right. Well,
we're glad he's okay.
Be well. Best to Urs and to Noah, man.
I will. Same to you guys.
Okay, you take care, buddy.
I'll talk to you in another 9 years.
Okay. I'm curious if this has ever happened to anyone else. It happened to my good friend Liz's son, and it was a rattlesnake. Is I have so many dumb questions. Is the anti-venom just the venom? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how sometimes to treat...
That's a great question. I don't know.
To protect you against a virus... They
give you a small,
weakened virus.
Like with the flu.
Right.
There's actually a little bit of the influenza virus in the.
And if the anti-venom is just a little bit of the venom, why is it so expensive? You would think you would just go out into the woods, find a few copperheads, bring them to the hospital, make them spit it out, and then put it in some petri dish somewhere, and then now we've got a bunch of it.
You just made that sound very easy. Are you going to go do it?
No, but why is this so expensive?
By the way, anti-venom is not just the venom. They purify the antibodies and the plasma, and then that is what they inject, so it counteracts.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Really, you're bringing us back with Whitesnake? It was a copperhead.
Watch your step, people.
Copperhead Road.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He did just remind us that the $90,000 bill is separate from the doctor's bill. This is just the ER bill. This is the anti-venom bill.
Oh, goody.
Unbelievable.
What do you do if you don't have insurance?
Well, you,
lose your foot?
You go bankrupt. Well, no, if you're in the ER, they have to treat you. But you then go bankrupt when they come looking for $90,000. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, so once bitten, twice shy, or Copperhead Road would have been good.
That would have been nice. Very nice, yes.
You guys were, just before the break, you were asking how antivenom is made. It's generally injected into horses, a small dosage, and then the horses build up resistance to it, kind of like iocane powder, in The Princess Bride, and then they're no longer, susceptible to it, and then they take that and process it, and it is very costly to make. It only has I looked this part up because I didn't know it, but it only has a 2 to 5 year shelf life. And so the infrequency of its usage, they got to trash it after so long because you want that stuff to work when you need it. So fresher is better. And then the other thing is greed. Hospitals are greedy. all there is to it. But as he said, the best place you want to be on your worst day with a kid is at Children's Mercy. God bless Children's Mercy.
Amen.
Every day of the week.
Amen. All right, man. Hey, glad we got you in. Jason in Gardner. Jason, hello.
Hey, just wanted to call. Give you a little information on
please
on Antivenom. I used to be a field collector for Crowfab Labs that made Antivenom, so I would go out and collect venomous snakes and send them to the laboratories where they would make the antivenom and stuff like that. And similar to what the previous caller said, the shelf life is very short on them. But the fact of the matter is that in the United States, unless something's changed within the last couple of years, there's never been a human fatality to a copperhead bite. In fact, I know several people who've been bitten and have never even gone to the hospital.
Oh,
obviously with a child. You know, you're not going to do that with a kid. But most people who have issues with a copperhead bite are those that are already allergic to bee stings, because the proteins in copperhead venom are very similar to the proteins that are in a bee sting. And so if you are allergic to bees, they have to give you a completely different remedy, because the Crowfab or the antivenom that is used in treating a snake bite like that, like you said before, is already made up of the venom from the venomous snake.
Jason,
so,
your story fascinates me. When you say you were a field collector, did they just order up a menu of different snakes until you go get them?
So what I would do is like in our area, in eastern Kansas, western Missouri, the three species of the most common venomous snakes in the area all have very similar venoms. So, and in my case, I would collect Western Diamondbacks in the state of Texas, because that's the most common venomous snake in the Midwest.
What are the other two? Copperheads and what?
In eastern Kansas, you've got copperheads and timber rattlesnakes. If you go a little further west, you get it around Salina, you get into what's called a Massasauga, which is a pygmy rattlesnake, kind of. There's even further west in the state of Kansas, you've got prairie rattlers, which are a little bit bigger. But on the western side of Missouri, it's pretty much the same thing. We don't have copperheads in this area, or not copperheads, but cottonmouths in this area, contrary to the popular belief. But but even a copperhead or a cottonmouth, rather, the venom from a cottonmouth is very similar to that of a copperhead. So,
how would you know? This is fascinating. How would you know where to go to find these snakes?
Yeah,
just field research and knowing where they're native to and what have you. I mean, I could tell you that there's certain areas of a city that are inundated with certain species of venomous snakes. Ironically, Camp Nash in Bonner Springs, which is one of the most popular Boy Scout camps in the area, is also very, very, very inhabited with copperheads and timber rattlesnakes. Deer Creek in Overland Park, the creek that runs through Overland Park around 135th Street, is loaded with copperheads, so it's not uncommon to find copperheads in that area. It's just a matter of just knowing where to go.
And I find this fascinating.
The jobs people have that we didn't even know existed.
So I've seen in TV shows or movies or documentaries or whatever, where they extract the venom from the snake, and they usually have a cup, a little plastic cup with some sort of tight topping that's rubber banded around it.
It's like a latex cap.
And would you just grab the snake
and squeeze it?
Squeeze its jaw to open it up and then extract the venom into the cup and then let it go? Or would you keep it?
I collected it, bagged it, and then shipped it to the lab. And the lab would do the extractions.
Okay.
Wow. So I had specialized equipment that was used to collect these animals. And then we had specialized bags and shipping equipment that we used to ship them and things like that.
Were you ever bitten?
No, you don't put yourself in a position to get bitten. I mean, people that get bit are generally ones that either don't know what they're doing or are lackadaisical or whatever.
Or surprise it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're not smart people don't free handle these. They use equipment to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it shocked me, though, that he had to go to Children's Mercy. And maybe it was because of his age. But I know that unless up until a couple of years ago, most of the major hospitals in the area have antivenom on hand, especially like out and around Lawrence and stuff like that. Any major body of water, like Clinton Lake and stuff like that, the hospital in Lawrence, I guarantee you they've got antivenom out there. Huh. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious as to whether or not they gave the young man a fasciotomy, which is basically when the foot swells, like he was talking about, they'll often use a scalpel and relieve the pressure on the skin tissue to prevent it from ripping and tearing.
And that
actually causes more problems with like infection and things like that than the actual treatment of the antivenom. But if you were to get bit by a copperhead, you know, I know I'm not a doctor, so take it for what it's worth, but you know, I would suggest holding out a couple days to see how you handle it.
Yeah. And you know what, Jason, thank you for the call. We're not holding out a couple days.
No, we're getting straight to the hospital.
I'm going to the hospital.
All right, buddy. Great call, man. Very informative. 913-586-7798. By the way, because I've seen it written both ways, anti-venom and anti-venin, they are the same thing. The words are synonymous.
One is just mispronounced.
Anti-venin is the preferred term in the United States and in most other continents. Anti-venom is the preferred term in Europe.
Well, wait.
I would have guessed the opposite.
I was going to say, anti-venin is the preferred here. I've never even heard it until today.
Me either.
I had heard it, but I always call it anti-venom because...
Okay. Because that's... People will go... What'd you say? If you said anti-venin, they'd go...
Anti-venom,
what
moron.
What did you say?
But the preferred term in the United States is anti-venin.
Did you see the Royals traded Freddie for Mean? I heard the boys out there talking about Freddie, and I wasn't really listening, and then I came in and I saw the headline.
Who the hell is Freddie Fernin?
For Mean on the Kansas City Royals. We love him. We love Freddie.
What position does he play?
He's very good batter, and he's outfield, I think. And no, he's the catcher.
Boy.
He's the backup catcher. And he has been traded to the San Diego Padres.
For whom?
For two pitchers. Yeah, Freddie's the catcher when Salvi's not catching. Kansas City Royals announced late today that they have traded catcher Freddie Fermin to the San Diego Padres for two pitchers. The Royals will receive two right-handed starting pitchers from the Padres, and then they get Fermin. We liked him here. He had been a solid backup catcher for the Royals since joining the team in 2022.
Batting average of .255.
.255?
Yeah.
That's better than old can't-hit Cags.
Oh, my, stop it. Just passing that on, breaking sports news.
I knew saying that to you was dangerous.
What's Cag's average right now? 147.
Would you stop it? He's on the disabled list.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Are you suggesting he's on the phantom injury list?
I think he's on the, we're going to politely send you back down to Omaha for a little while.
No, that is not what is happening.
Which is what they need to do.
Stop it. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Another little bit of breaking news. There was a missing 2-year-old that reportedly had not been seen for a week. The update is a good one, but there are still a lot of questions. The police department says she has been located and is safe.
Thank God.
But we were all saying off the air, how is a 2-year-old missing for a week? And we are just now all hearing about this. But she's found. They say she's safe. No other information has been released.
All right. We'll grab, just because you've been really patient, Jeff, in Gladstone, go ahead real quick if you could.
Yes, I worked down there at H.R. Bartle a number of years ago. And I was actually, we used to have to actually catch the copperheads and rattlesnakes and stuff like that because people would bring them in to us, and we had an animal habitat. So as the little scouts jump came by, you know, we could actually teach them about it, and, you know, that way they could learn. And I know of at least two times in the 3 years I worked there that, you know, someone got bit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Where is this Boy Scout camp, H.R. Bartle camp? Where is it?
It's down there at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay, so it's quite a distance.
Yeah, they brought him all the way from the Ozarks, Scott, all the way to Mercy here.
Oh, okay. We now know what the cause of death for Hulk Hogan was. He apparently had a heart attack.
Mm.
He previously had leukemia and atrial fibrillation. Mm-hmm. pronounced dead at a hospital less than 90 minutes after doctors, or check that, medics arrived at his home in Clearwater, Florida. So the shuttlecocks over at the Nelson Adkins are getting restored. They've been there since 1994. They've weathered scorching hot summers, brutally cold winters.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after more than three decades, the iconic large-scale models are undergoing a facelift to preserve a historic symbol of Kansas City history. Hopefully, they will be melted down.
No, I love the shuttlecocks.
For their scrap metal.
Stop it.
Don't touch them.
Oh, my God.
You actually aren't supposed to touch them.
It's a voice British
comes
voice.
From up above. Back away from the shuttlecocks.
Well, please do not touch the shuttlecocks.
I have a prom photo from high school leaning against one, and I still don't know how I didn't get yelled at for
careful.
That.
Careful.
Did the voice not come out?
It did not. And I've got the picture.
Huh. All right. And here are the best and worst states to retire. And they factored in everything from lower taxes to weather to health care.
I'll tell you this. Kansas and Missouri did not make the top best list. I think we were somewhere in the boring old middle. Are they all on the northeast coast? Are
no.
we talking New England and,
Definitely. I only have the top 10 here.
And they only listed the top 12. They didn't do all 50.
Okay.
Okay. I only have the top 10 in front of me. And 1, 2, 3 are from the...
Yeah.
New England
is
area.
Is it Connecticut, Maine, Rhode
Connecticut
Island?
Is not in the top 10. Maine is number 3.
Okay.
Best places to retire.
Okay.
Maine is number 3. It is not what you would think. Keep in mind, they factored in taxes, weather, which is why it's right. odd that Maine is in third, and health care.
Is like a North or South Carolina on there?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
I got nothing.
Taxes. Is Texas on there?
Texas is number 4.
There you go.
They do not have a state income tax. That is correct.
Okay.
Number 10, neighboring Nebraska.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, check that. No, Nebraska, I misread this. It's mislabeled in this story. Nebraska finishes at the bottom. With the 5th worst state to retire in, it ranks low in affordability and also has the highest average homeowner's insurance premium, according to Bankrate.
Yeah.
Well, that is the most confusing list I've ever seen.
This list is extremely confusing, so let me go back over this. Idaho is the 5th best state to retire in.
Idaho?
Mm-hmm. Arkansas is the 4th worst state to retire in.
Okay.
I see how they're doing this.
They're bouncing
back and forth between 5th best, 5th worst.
Ah.
Vermont is the 4th best state to retire in.
Okay.
Oklahoma is the 3rd worst place to retire in. Wyoming is the 3rd best place to retire in.
No state income tax.
Texas is the 2nd worst state to retire in.
Aha.
Also no state income tax.
But 2nd worst.
Huh.
Poor weather, because they get tornadoes and hurricanes. Maine is the 2nd best state to retire in.
Okay.
Louisiana is the worst state to retire in. Nobody likes
down south.
Nobody likes Louisiana.
Well, that's not fair to say about Texas, because you're not going to get a tornado and a hurricane in the same city. That's just a big state.
All right, what's number one?
Number one is New Hampshire.
Best, New Hampshire.
Best state to retire in.
No really? State income tax.
Claim the number one spot is the best place to retire in the United States. Provides a good mix of affordability and quality of life. Have you ever been to New Hampshire?
No. I'm going to go leaf peeping, I swear.
We went there in the summer of 2021 and stayed on an island in the middle of Lake... Ooh, what was the name of that lake? Lake Winnetonka.
Okay.
And it was... gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sure.
New Hampshire.
I love New Hampshire.
New Hampshire is a beautiful, beautiful place.
I shall go.
And they have just a little bit of coastline.
Okay.
Just a little coastline on the Atlantic Ocean.
Just a little bit.
Going to go do a fall foliage tour.
You know what? I am now of the age that the old leaf peeping tour is very attractive to me, Sam.
And you could bird while you're there?
I could be a birder. I could be a leaf peeper. Although if you
I wouldn't
live,
go near the birds.
You know, if you live in New England, they hate the leaf peepers. They really do. They love the tourism dollars, but it's like, all right, Marge, get out of here.
I'm going to hate the wrath that you leave behind you, too, if you get close to those birds.
Yeah, nothing but death. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, tomorrow at 5, it is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances, and that is brought to you by Q39. So I believe we mentioned this yesterday on the show. Happy Gilmore 2 is now the top watched movie debut in Netflix history.
46.7 million views in the opening weekend.
Yeah, it did well.
From the Blue Springs, Missouri Community Awareness page. Dear parents of the young Happy Gilmores who are at Franklin Smith School Park today between noon and 12:10 p.m., your future PGA stars were absolutely yeeting golf balls from the corner of the field, and they were landing on 19th Street Terrace, hitting houses and cars. When my husband pulled up and got out of the car, they understandably bolted. I get it.
I don't know if I'm sad or impressed that an official release included the term yeeting.
I get it, she writes. Golf is cool again. But maybe take them to the golf ranch or, I don't know, again. Literally anywhere that doesn't endanger people or their property. This could have been a lot worse.
Nice.
And there are photos of the two youngsters, one wearing a backpack, one without, schlepping a couple of golf clubs across the field. And they were just smash hammering those golf balls, which then probably hit the asphalt of the street and then wound up near the houses and the cars.
It is not easy to Happy Gilmore a golf ball.
No, it is not. Did you see he had a body double for that?
Really?
What?
Look it up. Adam Sandler has a body double for all of the golf shots. And he dressed like him. He looks like him. You know what a body double is, but he actually golfs.
Yeah, but the approach to the ball is not
traditional.
Correct. You have to know what you're doing to be able to do that well.
Have you ever tried it?
No, but I've been around people who have.
And you guys did watch it, right? You told me that on Monday that you did end up watching it.
It's, you know, it's funny. It's not going to win any awards.
It's nostalgic.
Hunter Mahan, a six-time PGA Tour winner and former Ryder Cup player, served as Adam Sandler's body double for Golf Swings and Happy Gilmore 2.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, did he do the swings in the original movie?
I do not know.
It's not like you really, when the ball is hit like that, I mean, they show them from the front and then immediately from the back. And then I would guarantee you that ball flying as far as it is completely CGI'd.
Well, yeah, of course. It's fabricated.
Yeah. So why couldn't Adam Sandler do it? He's afraid he'd throw it his back?
They asked Mahan, because they wanted it to look like he knew what he was doing for real. And they asked Mahan, a PGA golf pro, what it was like. And he said, quote, every day I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. He could not believe that he was asked to be his stand-in. The hardest thing, he said, was I had to hit some bunker shots, like short-sighted bunker shots. And I'm like, I have no chance.
Huh.
Said he loved it. Absolutely loved every minute of it.
All right. apparently, a Kansas City area couple has taken their love for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift to the extreme. They had a baby this week. We don't know the name of the couple, but we do know the name of the baby.
Okay.
The baby was born at Liberty Hospital.
Okay.
And her name
okay.
is Kelce Taylor.
Kelce Taylor. Oh, that's darling.
What if they break up?
First of all, don't you dare speak that into existence. And second of all, I think that's absolutely lovely.
What if she grows up and hates Taylor Swift and football?
She won't. You know, my parents were going to name me Cass or Cassidy or something, but they were afraid at the time people would call me Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah.
She
was the big one.
You grow into your name and you grow out, right? You grow out of any other, I don't know, connection to it, I think.
Did not see Biggin popping up on the radio show today.
Because Kelce is, you know, did they spell it K-E-L-C-E?
Yes.
I think that's a cool story growing up.
Let me double check and make sure Mama Cass was the big one.
My mother has said that was one of the reasons why they did. Scott Parks.
Yeah, she was.
My point is no one remembers it.
Well, instead, they named you after that one waitress from that one bar.
In North Topeka.
Well.
She was a good server.
I hope so.
They tipped well.
Okay.
Wow.
Quick break for the news. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. The news with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.